My sermon this morning might be a bit challenging for some people. I hope not. But I can only speak what God puts on my heart to speak. And the reason I say that is because the title of my sermon this morning is that you are a missionary. If you're a Christian this morning, you are a missionary. So we're going to read a couple of verses of scripture before we start. In Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Okay. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Now, most of what I've been speaking about today, most of the words are all spoken by Jesus himself. So Jesus says, "Go into all the world." He said, and go for this purpose. What was that purpose? To preach the good news. Go and preach the good news. Now, that word, go, in the Bible, is very, 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 it's a huge word. It's not just go. Go, in the Bible, it appears 1,492 times. So when Jesus puts that word, go, there is a reason for it. 1,492 times. And we need to read also Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. It's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, again, these are Jesus' words himself. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," and this is very important, "surely I am with you always to the very end of age." So Jesus says, go. He said, go and make disciples. Go in order to make disciples of all nations. By all nations, of course, Jesus meant everywhere. He meant your neighbor, he meant your workmate, everyone, your family. So Jesus says, go and make disciples. So what is a disciple? If Jesus wants us to make disciples, we need to know what disciples are. And in the Bible dictionary, it says, a disciple is the pupil of a teacher or the student of a teacher. Also, a learner, a follower. Are you any one of these? A follower, a learner, a student of a teacher? Then what that makes you? It makes you a disciple. And Jesus says, go and make disciples. So we're always learning. As disciples, we are always learning from Christ. If someone says to you, "I know it all, I don't need to know about the Bible," which I'm sure some people do that to you. I know I had people doing that to me where I said, "Oh, I've been reading the Bible since I was little. I don't need to learn anymore now. I know the Bible of by heart, inside out." So you need to note also here that now they are not only sent to the lost sheep of Israel, where before they were sent to the lost sheep of Israel, but the whole world. They were sent to all the Gentiles now. And it's interesting also that Matthew concludes this book with a most remarkable promise that Jesus would be with the disciples to the very end. So he is with us. We know that as we go out, as we speak God's word, he is with us. He will always be with us. Because that's his promise to you and me. And we've got to believe his promises. Okay, I would like to read another verse of scripture now in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It says, to the ends of the earth. Jesus is telling his disciples here that their job was to carry his message throughout the whole world. And again, throughout the whole world doesn't mean we're all going to go to China tomorrow or we're all going to go to the Philippines. It means your neighbor is part of the world. Your workmates, they're part of the world. Your own family are part of the world. And then Jesus said, you shall receive power. Now, I don't think this refers to personal power for godly living. I don't believe that. I think this was power to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's the power that Jesus gave us. Be witnesses, is Christ's command to his disciple, isn't it? He told his disciples to be my witnesses, to tell others about him, regardless of the consequences. And sometimes, unfortunately, there is consequences. We know at the moment, Pastor Chris and Mariel and Karen, they're away in the Philippines, serving over there. There's consequences. They left the family behind, their children. There is consequences. Sometimes we get ridiculed when we share God's word with other people. I know I have been ridiculed at work before. But it doesn't matter, because what we're doing is we're obeying Christ's command. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we won't read it. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. To seek and to save the lost. So then we think it is the missionary's job to pursue the mission of Jesus. That's not our job. It's their, these missionaries. It's them they will go out and spread the good news. It's not our job. We give to mission societies because, you know, we want to help them. We think that these special people called missionaries, they are the only ones called to seek and save the lost. It's not our job. And that's what I used to think. I used to say, well, we'll help these missionaries, we give to them, and then they'll go and do the job. And I'm so proud of this church, about how you all gather around when we have something collect for missions, or when we have a garage sale, or in fact this year we had a number of occasions where we've done that. In fact this year already, we started very well in January. I think it was when Narcissa made the jam. She picked her fruit from her own tree and made jam and gave it to us to sell it, to collect money for missions. And again, on the 14th of April, we had a garage sale. We collected $2,630. Sorry, $2,730. Then we had a sausage sizzle at Bunnings. We've had the Mission Sunday, which we do once a year. We had 4 weeks of soup, which we blessed Pastor Chris as he went to be able to bless others in the Philippines. Now we've got the garage sale coming up on the 6th of October. We have the fun run after that. And then we have another sausage sizzle at Bunnings on the 15th of December. And that's all happening because of you. It's not because of me. I can't do all that. It's because of your generosity. So we're always giving into mission serving. So we give to mission societies, and we pray for missionaries. I hope you do. We pray for missionaries. We read newsletters. We read emails from missionaries and mission societies. And in church or at conferences, we hear reports from missionaries, don't we, that we support. Because we want to hear how they are seeking the lost and how are they telling them about Jesus. so we can pray for them and we can support them financially, don't we? And this church has a wonderful heart, I can tell you. I'm involved in it, so I know your heart for the missions. But what about the missionary who is closest to you? That's the question to you this morning. What about the missionary who is closest to you? Now, to find out who your closest missionary is, you need to look in the mirror. That's who your closest missionary is. I'm suggesting that you are a missionary. Each one of you is a missionary. To be a Christian is to be a missionary. If you say you are a Christian but not a missionary, then I'm suggesting you have misunderstood what being a Christian really means. You may protest, no, I can't be a missionary. That can't be the case. Missionaries are formally screened and interviewed, and they are chosen, they are trained and commissioned by missionary societies, and without that process and without that permission, I can't be a missionary. But you know, in the early church, there were no missionary societies. There were no screening programs. There were no commissioning service. In the early church, everyone who became a Christian became a missionary. And that's how the early church spread so rapidly and so wildly. While it's true there were church planters, such as Paul, and he had a team around him, like had Luke, Timothy, Silas, etc., etc., and the rest. But that didn't let the members of the church that Paul planted off the hook. They were all of them, every member, part of the Christian missionary enterprise. But you might say, I can't be a missionary. I'm too busy. I'm too busy being an office manager or a sales rep or a shop assistant. Or I'm an engineer or an accountant. Or a bus driver or a student. Or I'm a wharfie. I can't be a missionary, I'm too busy. But you know something, there's no clash between being a missionary and also being an office manager, a sales rep, or engineer, etc. There's no clash whatsoever. You can still be all these things and be a missionary. Now, to understand this picture, because it can be a bit confusing, I want you to picture this. Picture what a medical missionary working in, say, Africa does. They are there to do a specific job, are they? If you're a missionary, a doctor or a medical practitioner, you are there for to do a job. To practice medicine and surgery. That's your job in Africa if you go as a missionary. And they have to do this and do it well, to justify being there. And this will take up most of their time, doesn't it? Most of their time. The difference is here is their mindset. Their mindset. They know they are there to represent Jesus Christ. And they will actively look for opportunities to talk about Jesus. To give Christian literature, perhaps, to someone. To pray for someone whom they have a useful conversation. They know it's a waste being on the mission field if all they ever do is just practice medicine and nothing else. They are there to look for opportunities to have gospel conversations and to take these opportunities when they come. So you can be a bus driver and still be a missionary. Once we have the same mindset as the medical missionary in Africa, which I think is the normal Christian mindset to have, don't you think? If you're at work or wherever you might be talking to your neighbor, your mindset is that you're going to bring Jesus into it. But for some of us, if we're honest, we'll admit that one of our most powerful motivations for denying all this and leaving the mission of Christ to the professional missionary is that it scares the socks out of us. You know, you be in a group, or you invited to a party, or you're at work one-on-one with someone, and you want to share God's word, but you're holding back. I wonder what he'll say if I said that. I wonder what she'd say. Or if you have visitors at home, the wife or the husband starts a conversation about Jesus. The husband, no, she's going to mention Jesus again. Not Jesus again. Or vice versa. I'm sure that has happened to you at one time or another, where you feel maybe I'm a bit embarrassed. You know, there's a lot of people around. I better not say anything. I better wait till we're one-on-one. And as I said, there is consequences. I've had a bloke one time at work. We were in the hull of a ship down below, just me and him. He was a foreman. And he couldn't go anywhere. I thought, it's a great opportunity. He can't just get out of there. So I'll bring Jesus into it somehow. And I mentioned the Bible to him. As soon as I mentioned the Bible, he just went off. He said something very, very actually filthy about the Bible. Sometimes people will ridicule you. But you know, the Bible says that if we're prosecuted because of his name, we will be rewarded. So that's what we look for, that reward from Christ. But sometimes, too, we might be surprised at what happens when we try. Sometimes we give up too easily. As we become a little better equipped and a little bolder in adding a spiritual dimension to our conversation with our friends and relatives, we may very well discover that people are more open and willing to engage in conversation of spiritual nature than we previously thought. It happened this week. We were advertising, or Sue was advertising stuff on eBay and for the missions, to collect funds for the missions. And one bloke came, and he wouldn't leave. He came to pick up. He bought something, and then Sue talked him into buying something else. One of those lazy Susies. And he wouldn't go. And I'm saying to Sue, enough. Because it went on and on and on. But we were speaking about the name of Jesus. We weren't talking about any rubbish. Just the conversation came that this when he was a young man, 14 year old, he used to go to a Pentecostal church. So he was brought up as a Christian. And now he sort of walked away, not walked away from God, but walked away from church. So you never know when you can have an interesting conversation with people. Just don't hold back. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now this was written 2,000 years ago. 2,000 plus years ago. And it's still today. It's still the same today. No difference. The harvest is plentiful, isn't it, today? But the laborers are few. The last picture Jesus uses in this section here is that of the harvest. Sowing and reaping, which go together. Sowing and reaping go together. Jesus speaks of reaping the harvest of God's act of salvation. The message to his disciples is very clear here. The harvest is great, and the laborers are few. You can be at any place at one time where there's a group of people, and you see the harvest in that group of people. But then you look at the workers, and there's no workers. Except you. You may be the only one in that group of people. The call is to pray to God to send out laborers into the harvest. The fact that it is God's harvest is the key which interprets the vision of need and the commission to follow. So why do we need to be missionaries? Why do we need to go out there and tell people about Jesus? It's because of man's greatest need. You know what that is? Man's greatest need. Salvation. That's man's greatest need. And that's why we need to go out there. Whether it's our family, whether it's our neighbor, whether it's our workmates. And you know, sometimes the opportunity is there and we miss it. We miss the opportunity. Someone must tell them the wonderful story of Jesus and the cross before they can believe it. No one is going to believe the word of God unless they hear it, unless they know about it. If someone comes and tells you something about something and you don't know nothing about it, you're not going to believe it. Someone must tell them. To us as believers has been given the task of bringing the good news of the reconciliation won on Calvary. Jesus couldn't make it any clearer in the Bible that he wanted us to go and share the good news. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, let's read that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20 says this: We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Ambassadors, that's a strong word, isn't it? We are ambassadors for Christ, the Bible says. So the Bible calls us ambassadors. We are the official representatives of the government of heaven. If you was an ambassador in, say, America or any other country, you're representing your country. You know, and we are representing Jesus Christ. Wherever we go, we are representing Jesus Christ. This is the mindset we need to have. If I'm among a group of people or some people that don't know Christ, I'm the ambassador for Christ. It is my responsibility to speak to those people. You know, there are 7.5 billion people in the world at the moment. 7.5 billion. That's now. Close to half of these have never once heard the gospel. That's very serious, isn't it? I didn't think it was that much. I looked it up and it says that half of the world population, just a bit under half, have never heard about our Lord Jesus Christ. It is also estimated that 80,000 unsaved people die every day. That's a lot of people. 80,000 people every day die without knowing Christ. Surely this represents a tremendous challenge, doesn't it, to spread the good news, to tell people about Jesus, to tell people that Jesus has died for them, that at least they need to inquire about this Jesus who claims to have died for them. And in conclusion here, the aim of mission is to make Christ known to all men. Then people can make their own choice. You know, I've spoken to people about Jesus and they just ignore you. Like, I spoke to other people about Jesus, then they gave their heart to the Lord. But then that is their choice. You cannot make a person become a Christian or accepting Jesus Christ. You can't make them. That is a choice they have to make. But what I'm saying, at least we need to tell them. We need to tell them about this Jesus who claimed to be the Savior. So the aim of missions is to make Christ known to all men. The responsibility of missions rests upon every member of the body of Christ. And we will close with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. And chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Never miss opportunities like that. Never miss opportunities, because you don't know the day of salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. May we pray. Thank you, Father. Father, we do thank you, Lord God. Lord, that you would send your Son Jesus, that we may have eternal life with you. Father, I just pray, Lord, that we will not hold back, Lord. When the opportunities come, we'll not hold back from telling others, Lord God, that they too could have salvation. They too could have eternal life. Lord, we thank you that you bring peace into our hearts, knowing that we're going to be meeting you face to face one day, Lord. Not because of what we've done, because of what you've done for us. And Lord, you didn't just do it for us. You done it for our families. You done it for our friends. You done it for our neighbors. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, that we will have the courage to speak your word, Lord God, to tell people about Jesus, to tell people about what he's done for them, Lord, so that your death will not be in vain. Father, I just pray, give us that heart desire, Lord God, that when we look at people, Lord, we see these people as they can be saved also, Father. Lord, as we tell them about Jesus, Lord, they will receive you as their Lord and Savior. And they too, Lord, can look forward to the eternal life. They can look forward to that day when they will meet you face to face also. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray that there be your blessings upon each one, Father. And Lord, may we have the courage to speak about Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.